We're into the business end of Rugby World Cup 2023. This weekend, the final round of pool stage fixtures. By Monday morning, we will know our quarterfinalists for 2023. And obviously, we'll know who the Springboks will be facing in those quarterfinals, barring a mathematical miracle. This is the Inside Pass. Welcome. My name is Lloyd Bernard. Joining me in the Cape Town studios once again is Haman Mossad. Morning, Haman.
Good morning, Lloyd.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Did you catch any of the All Blacks last night?
I did. I saw Uruguay halt them for 20 minutes and then the dam wall broke and it was all over very quickly.
Yeah, if you went 92 points on Superbrew as I did, you weren't a happy guy after 20 minutes with the scores deadlocked at
0-0. They came close to 90.
Yeah, you can imagine that scored some points in the first 20 minutes would have been great. We enter, obviously, Springboks started action this weekend, but tonight's we see France taking on Italy, which is actually, you know, I mean, France obviously overwhelming favourites to win that one, but Italy can just, you know.
They can.
Imagine the host getting knocked out of the tournament before the quarterfinals with an upset tonight.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not going to be a 90-odd points like New Zealand put on Italy. I mean, the Italians are used to playing against the Northern Hemisphere teams. Obviously, they play in the Six Nations every year. Mm. There's just something about them. They just can't play against New Zealand. I don't know if they're afraid of the All Blacks or something, or it's just the playing style that don't match up. The pace of the game is just too quick for them. They can't handle the All Blacks, the manner in which they play. But it's different against France. It's going to be a more attritional type of game. And but France should win. You'd expect France to win. I don't think Italy's strong enough at the moment to cause an upset.
It would be so very French though if they lost today. And we're already talking about France in the quarterfinals and going all the way. Can you just imagine the Springboks were playing Italy instead in the the quarterfinals?
It'd be an easier match, that's for sure.
Listen, we're gonna go to Kaniso Chwaku, who's still on the ground with the box in Toulon, because you know the big news at this tournament over the last couple of days, from a South African point of view anyway, actually hasn't had anything to do with what's been happening on the rugby field. We've had Lukanyo Am joining, which is great, but South African sport seemingly dragging their heels through the national government again, and now in a bit of hot water with the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, and South Africa facing the prospect of losing the right to play under their national flag at global major sporting events unless they can comply with updated WADA legislation by the 14th of October. WADA obviously, you know, controlling doping regulations for all major sporting events across the globe, and with the Proteas playing the Cricket World Cup in India and with the Springboks playing the Rugby World Cup in France at the moment, you know, even the suggestion and the possibility that we could enter a situation where the box go into their quarterfinal unable to sing the national anthem and unable to have flags raised at the venue, it's just not really a distraction they need right now. Let's go to Trucks. Trucks, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us, Trucks, and really good work on that story I felt this morning, you know, speaking to all parties. Give us an update. Where are we? How concerned should South Africans be? Is there the real possibility of, I mean, I'm an anthem guy, man. The anthems are one of my favorite parts of Springbok rugby. You know, you stand up, you belt it out. It's always tear-jerking stuff. I mean, for me, a test match, especially at a Rugby World Cup, is just not a test match unless we have the anthem beforehand.
That is very much true. Look, I think all hinges on where the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture are able to meet next week Friday's deadline. It's as simple as that at the moment, because, I mean, I spoke to Cricket South Africa CEO, Paulette Moseki, and he, while confident that the deadline could be met, also on the other side, he does have a slight misgiving that they may not be able to use the flag and the anthem. And remember, the Proteas still have a pretty decent catch of World Cup games post that deadline, so they will most probably feel it the most. I mean, even for the Springboks, should they qualify for the semifinals, one can't imagine a quarterfinal where the anthem is not sung. You can't imagine a semifinal. You can't imagine a final where a team can't sing the anthem. So look, from the conversations had with the Department of Sports, Arts and Recreation, they hope to have the matter ironed out by next week. The understanding is so things aren't always going to move very quickly when they come to Parliament. It needs to be tabled. It's in front of the Cabinet now. Now it needs to be tabled in front of Parliament. Then that particular bill needs to be pushed through. So Look, they need to accelerate the process. I think the key question would be, why has it taken so long? Because, Sage has been aware, they've dropped it. They consulted the members in time. They then sent the proposed legislation to the Department of Sports, Arts and Recreation. So, look, at the end of the day, being a custodian of sports, the Department of Sports, Arts and Recreation really now need to make sure that this matter is pushed through Parliament. Whether they can do it quickly will now remain to be seen.
And just to be clear, Chuck, so we don't run the risk of not playing in these competitions. I mean, there's no scenario here where the Box and Proteas won't be able to play. So that's not the concern. But
no.
It's simply down to anthems and flags, yeah?
Yes, the players have signed their anti-doping code. So if you don't sign up to that anti-doping code before the start of the tournament, you cannot participate. So the players have signed up. So the players are safe from their side. It's a legislative matter that now needs to be handled by the Department of Sports, Arts and Recreation through the minister. So I think it's a ministerial issue that needs to be sorted out at that level, and one hopes that it does not affect the players dripping down going forward.
The statement from WADA a couple of weeks ago, said that over 700 federations from around the world had agreed to the updated legislation and got their documents in order and signed on. Over 700 federations from around the world had done that, and Bermuda and South Africa were the only two still dragging their heels. I mean, the timing just couldn't be worse, given that two of your flagship national teams are currently at World Cups. I mean, how did this happen?
I mean, the worst part of it all is that the federations themselves aren't to blame for this. The federations, through SAFE, they adopted the particular framework. So the issue now lies with how quickly the sports, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture are able to get through. So the issue now lies with the turgidness of the Department of Sports in terms of actually getting this thing through to Parliament and having it pushed through. Because it's clear that the federations had agreed, so they are not to actually hold hostage with this particular matter. I kind of feel sorry for them because they, for lack of a better word, they at the mercy of Minister Kodwa. So whatever tardiness that took place with regards to pushing this matter through at ministerial level, at that high departmental level, may have dire impacts for the team in France.
Yeah.
And the team in India.
Yeah. Trucks, I'm sure when you went to France to go cover the Rugby World Cup, you weren't expecting to be making calls to ministerial departments and things of the sort. I hope it gets sorted out quickly. I hope you can quickly turn your attention back to what's happening on the rugby field. And that by the time the Box play next weekend in the quarterfinals, this matter will be dealt with. Herman, I mean, geez, do you think, obviously, the timing is not ideal. I mean, I still suspect that this will all be resolved, in the coming days. It's just too important a matter, I think, for South Africa to drop the ball on completely here. But do you think in any way this serves as a distraction to the guys preparing at the moment?
No, I don't think so, because they're not to blame. As Kaniso said, the players are in line with all the regulations. They made sure that they wouldn't be banned from playing.
Yeah.
So they did everything on their behalf. The federations, SA Rugby, SA Cricket, aren't to blame here. It's quite simply just a government issue. And the government should in any case be separated from the teams in any case. I mean, the players, I don't see it being a distraction. Obviously, from an emotive point of view, if the Springboks can't sing the national anthem, you could see a guy like Kulisi, how passionately he sings the anthem beforehand. Yeah. Maybe it could have an issue of him not being psyched up enough, but I'm sure Rassie and Jock and the coaches will make sure that the guys are psyched up enough in the change room beforehand that it doesn't play a part, so they should just shrug it off and just focus on the job at hand and this, I think you can just call it incompetence, is not on their behalf, they've got nothing to do with it. So it should be like water off a duck's back to them. And I mean, they're professional and they're world champions, and you should argue that they are mentally strong. You don't win a World Cup for nothing. So I don't think it will serve as a distraction.
Yeah. Let's start talking about the rugby again. Trucks was off now. He's got a Lucanio M press conference coming up. I meant to ask him. I said, just ask Lucanio if he can play hooker because he might be needed in that space down the line. But just on that quickly, I know we've chatted a lot about Lucanio, but the fact that they're putting him up for media today, the fact that yesterday Rusty said that he is being considered for selection, you just start thinking, you know, if the guy's fit and his knee's okay and he's been drafted in and he is considered by many to be the best number 13 in the world, I mean, does it matter that he's short on game time and going into a Rugby World Cup quarterfinal? Are we now thinking about the possibility of throwing a guy like Lucanio Amp straight in? Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, it's not impossible, no, because, I mean, Pollard played like a few minutes for Leicester Tigers and then he got drafted straight into the Springbok starting team for their last match.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was obviously a lot of talk when Pollard was called up that, oh, this is just going to be a precautionary measure. He's not really going to play a big part. And look what happened. Yeah, he played as the starting fly-half. Mm. So I wouldn't be surprised if Lucanio starts. It would be harsh on Jesse Krill because he's done really well.
Yeah.
In Am's absence, you know, he's obviously renowned as a very good defender.
Yeah.
But then again, the counter argument would be that, you know, the Boks have struggled to cash in on opportunities, especially deep in opposition territory, and they're going to have to take their chances better if they get to they play in the quarters and the semis, and maybe a guy like Lucanio could just be the guy that sparks that, you know, and helps them get over the line to score a bit more tries.
Mm.
Because that was a bit of a worrying issue for me in the last match, especially, even though they won comfortably. But obviously in the Ireland match as well, there were several opportunities in the opposition 22 that the Boks just didn't convert into points.
Yeah.
So any sort of X factor that they could get, they could grab at, you know, and then Lucanio is that type of sort of an X factor player.
Yeah.
In that regard. So it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not sure, you know, how fit he actually is. I mean, he's been in the Super Sports studio. He looked like a former player when he was there, you know, like with all the other guys there. But yeah, like we've seen him in training, you know, he's there, he's ready, he's running, ready to go. It doesn't seem like the knee is any much of an issue anymore.
Yeah.
So you can never know what Rusty and Jock are conjuring up, you know.
It's, certainly can't. I'm looking very forward to hearing what Lucanio has to say. I mean, I mean, he's been on a roller coaster of, you know, I would imagine emotions over the last few weeks. You know, you go from kind of being in the mix to missing out on the 33-man squad. You know, you're out, injured. Then you're in the studios, you know, with Nick Mallett and John and Much and, you know, Swayze and all of them talking about the game. And then, you know, you're watching these guys from afar and then the injury happens and all of a sudden you're back on a training field. He's clearly a guy with a huge presence, clearly a guy with a lot of leadership qualities. You could see the reaction of his teammates when he took to the training field for the first time 2 days ago, whenever he arrived. I mean, the whole squad just kind of gravitating towards him. So very, very keen to hear what he has to say today. And then, if the quarterfinal was this weekend, I mean, then you go, well, he probably, you know, out of contention, surely, because he only arrived on Monday and the Boks have that policy of, you know, you must train properly on the Monday. But the fact that they've now had, you know, the way their pool worked out and that they've got those 2 weeks before the quarterfinal just gives them that extra bit of time to kind of, you know, get up to speed with everything again. And if the fitness levels are right and if he's hit all of his metrics by Monday morning when they pick that team, then, yeah, geez, Jesse Krill could be a very unlucky guy because he has played very well. Let's look at some of the other games. We spoke about France, Italy. You would expect France to get through that one okay tonight. But like I say, I mean, if one team is going to drop the ball in a game like this, it would just be so very French if Italy found a way past. Wales, Georgia, not a game that means anything. Wales are through. Georgia are out, the same with England, Samoa, and then the big one on Saturday night, the main event of Saturday, Ireland, Scotland. Let's talk about this. Your thoughts on that game? I mean, Ireland clear favourites to get through there?
Yes, I think so. I mean, obviously all the talk has been about Scotland needing to win by 21 points to knock the Boks out, and as I said yesterday, I don't think that's even part of their plan. I think their plan is just to try and, you know, beat Ireland by 8 points, and which means Ireland get 0 and they knock Ireland out and they go through along with South Africa. That should be their aim. And even that is going to be, I wouldn't say a long shot, but it's going to be very tough for them to do that. I'm looking at the stats here. They've lost their last 8 matches against Ireland. This year, Ireland won 22-7 at Murrayfield. Last year, they won 26-5 in Dublin. I think the Irish have just a bit too much class. You know, they're on a roll now with 16. Their win over the Springboks was their 16th straight victory, and they're closing now in on the world record, which is jointly shared by England and New Zealand on 18.
Yeah.
So if the Irish win this and they win their quarterfinal and semifinal, they have the world record. So that's obviously something that would be on their minds as well. And then there's a reason why they've won so many matches in a row. You know, they're a very well-drilled outfit.
Yeah.
And I think player for player, maybe just a little bit more class in the Ireland ranks. It's going to be interesting to see the duel at fly half between Finn Russell and Johnny Sexton. I actually think Russell provides a little bit more on the attack than Sexton. But Sexton obviously is a very experienced campaigner, and he's a guy that's probably a bit more steady, a bit more solid. You know, sort of Russell can be a lot up and down, whereas Sexton, you know what you're going to get from him. So that's going to be an interesting battle. But I just think the Irish will up front be a little bit too strong for Scotland. Too much class and experience out wide as well. But it could be an entertaining game. You know, it could be like if Finn Russell sparks something early on and Scotland somehow scored 2 quick tries and they suddenly lead by 10, 12 points, you know, then it's going to get interesting. But I don't expect that to happen. I mean, Ireland have been building for this match for a long time, and if they just do what they've been doing over the last couple of years, they should win.
Yeah, the stakes are at their highest now, and that's when you never quite know. And I think scoreboard pressure in these situations is very real. I think the start's obviously crucial, as you say. I mean, if Scotland do get away, you know, Scotland find themselves 12-3 up or 15-3 up, and then the question becomes, oof, you got to come back from there, and then all of a sudden it's a different kind of story. I mean, on paper, you know, 180-minute shootout, you obviously expect Ireland to win, but you never quite know. And I mean, these are the situations that you can't really prepare for to an extent, because that pressure and the enormity of the occasion presents itself in a different kind of way. Tell me who you've got in Japan against Argentina. That's obviously the match, I think, that brings the curtain down. Is that right? Is that the last?
That's 1 o'clock on Sunday, that game.
Oh, it's the first game on Sunday. Yeah. You're right, yeah. But, I mean, that match will obviously determine who goes through from that pool. Essentially, it's a last 16 shootout. Who have you got there, Argentina?
I've got Argentina maybe just to sneak it. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. A really tough battle. I just think Argentina's pack is going to be too strong for Japan. But like we've discussed now, if the Japanese can somehow score a few quick fire tries and open things up a bit, it could, you know, the Pumas could go into panic stations. And we must never forget, with Argentina, there's always a chance of a red card or a couple of 2 or 3 yellow cards. You know, they're prone to be a very ill-disciplined team, and if that happens, you know, it could change the complexion of the match completely. But I think Argentina, you know, they've got a good coach in Michael Checa. He would have not been happy, especially after what happened in the England game when they couldn't beat 14 England players for the majority of that match. So I think they're almost due a really good match. You know, they've been up and down this year so far. They didn't impress me against Samoa as well. So I would expect Argentina to win if I had to put my money on it.
Yeah. If your Super Brew is broken and you're last of all of the pools that you're in, this is your week. I mean, back Italy to knock over France. Back Japan to beat Argentina. Back Scotland to beat Ireland. And then obviously the weekend ends with Fiji, who will complete their fairy tale by picking up a bonus point. At the very least, it's all they need against Portugal to go through. But in all seriousness, if you look at all of those games and who the expected winners are, we then have quarterfinals that look like, well, France against South Africa.
Yes.
Ireland against New Zealand. England against
Fiji.
And Argentina against Wales.
Yes.
On the other side of the pool. So Yeah, that's quite interesting because we, as predicted, you know, the top teams in the world will then all knock each other out in the quarterfinal stages. But that's where we're looking. South Africa still on course for a quarterfinal against France. Should they get through their final pool game against Italy tonight? Let's leave it there. Herdman, we'll be back on Monday. By Monday morning, next time we do this, we'll know exactly where we stand. We'll have our quarterfinalists wrapped up. We'll know who the Springboks are playing, when and where. This has been the Inside Pass. Enjoy the rugby this weekend. Chess tournament has absolutely flown by. And we're almost at the playoffs. Have a good weekend. Bye.